Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and was hired as a co-op by General Motors at age 16. 32 years later, she left GM to purchase Detroit Heading and also form JMA Logistics, LLC. Since 2005, she's also been the chairman of the National Association of Black Suppliers Scholarship Fund. Her name? Jeanette Abraham. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Jeanette Abraham, who since 2001 has been the owner, CEO, and president of JMA Logistics, LLC. Jeanette, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
I would love to. I was born in the Detroit area. Actually, Highland Park is what we refer to, and we know that's just a skip away from Detroit, but I was educated in the Detroit public schools. My parents met here in the Detroit area. My dad was born in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and my mom in Selma, Alabama. So the two of them having a chance to meet created wonderful me here in Detroit.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
The biggest thing that I learned from my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She had a schedule, is to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. She didn't like repeating herself because my dad worked at Chrysler and he worked on the second shift. And so in many aspects, she was like a single parent. So she expected you to do what she said when she said it and depended on us being good girls. There's four girls in my family. And my dad, with only an eighth grade education, migrated here from South Carolina and met my mom, worked. But education was so very important to him. And as a result of him pushing and making us be our very best, full of integrity, you have to walk the talk, do what you say you're going to do. And all four of us have master's degrees, so we were good students.
Were any of them princesses?
No.
Next question. Your dad works at Chrysler. You're 16 years old, and you get a co-op job, 20 hours per week, up at the tech center in Warren. Impossible. How'd you ever get it?
Being a good student. It started from being a good student and having a co-op teacher at Pershing High School who really recognized what I did, how I did it, and talked to me all the time about being my best. And I actually hesitated a bit before I took the assignment at General Motors Tech Center because my dad worked second shift and I was living on the west side of town, taking 9 buses a day, 3 to get to school, 3 more to get to General Motors, and 3 more to get back home. So you really had to have some mental stamina to keep that up on a day-to-day basis. And my dad would break the monotony because he worked second shift, and he would cut out 3 of those buses by him and my mom coming to Pershing High School to pick me up, to drive me to 12 Mile and Van Dyke. And we'd have some special time together, and they'd wish me well, and I'd go to work.
Most of the ladies I know, they don't do bus.
I know.
I'm not going to ask if you still do bus. But,
not anymore.
Tell us about your 32-year career at General Motors.
Fabulous career. You know, I don't know that many people can say that they've never looked for a job in their whole life, but I never did. My co-op coordinator saw some things in me, and I went to interview, and they offered me a full-time position after my 1 year of co-op. And I said, but of course I want to go to college. And they said, we've got a deal for you. We will send you to college. We'll pay for your education. And you'll be far better than anyone else because you won't have student loans. Well, that was ringing harmony in my ear. So I continued to work and to do my best. And I got promoted. I became a professional student, I would refer as. I always went to school at night. And I continued to go to school through my undergrad and master's degree as well, and they paid for it. And so through all the tumultuous times, through all the layoffs, through all the picket signs and all of that, I apparently was covered by God's favor because I never looked for a job. And I left at age 48 years old after 32 years only because there was a phenomenal opportunity for me and one that I couldn't say no to.
All right, you start as a co-op, and then when you left, you were in purchasing and commodities management, and you were responsible for a $700 million a year buy. How did you progress and get that job?
Being a good student. I was always a student, whether I was at school or whether I was at work. I'm a minority female. There weren't many people who looked like me at General Motors. I drove down the street sometimes and got heckled at because it was back in 1968 when I started. But I pushed so hard because I always imagined myself to be somebody special. And so regardless of what the obstacles were, I continued to push and always maintained favor, always was a good student of my work, always got recognized for the things that I did, and constantly got promotions accordingly.
I met my first purchasing agent of the Big Three, I think, in 1976. Jeanette, you are too nice to be in purchasing, to have been in purchasing. Why were you successful in purchasing?
You know, for a very long time, I spent some time in material control, too, making sure that the assembly plants had enough material on hand without shutting them down. For a long time, they never let women do these jobs because they thought we were too temperamental. Oh, my God, they're going to break down and cry. And so there were some trailblazers. I can't say that I was the pioneer, but there were some other female trailblazers that really put some credibility to the fact that we could do it and that we could do it well. And so I followed in the footsteps of some of those people, and I just continued. I learned every aspect of materials management, you know, commodity by commodity, bit by bit, until I got to procurement. And I started out being a stenographer or secretary, if you will, to one of the buyers. And so I knew it very, very well.
We're talking to Jeanette Abraham, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Jeanette Abraham, who was hired as a co-op in 1968 by GM. 32 years later, she left. We're going to find out why in a minute. But before we ask that question, Jeanette, what's the biggest thing you learned at GM about owning and running your own small business?
I think what my best lesson was, looking at people who really had a grasp of their business and understood not just what it meant to be the CEO, but every aspect of the job, understanding customer expectations, understanding that if that changed, for example, if my taste was lemon meringue pie and years changed and all of a sudden I liked pound cake, you needed to know that as my supplier. You needed to stay on top of what my requirements were, and you needed to make sure that your delivery was on time, that your price was right, that you were competitive, that you were accountable. I held people accountable all the time, and not having the right answer was always wrong, of course. And I always said to people that if I know your telephone number by heart, it's a problem. You know, it's a problem because as a procurer of a new product, you want to place the purchase order and get on with making the next purchase. But if I've got to keep coming back because you've missed dates, because this slipped, because you shipped bad material, you mislabeled it, and for all the various reasons that will shut down our production line, I knew truly what was expected. And so when I had the opportunity to go out and sit on the other side of the desk, I knew that failure wasn't an option because I made sure that the rules were followed. So I certainly had to eat them, sleep them, and follow them to the best of my ability as well.
Speaking about sitting on the other side of the desk, let's jump to 2000, and you decide to leave General Motors, this cocoon, after 32 years. Jeanette Abraham, why?
I prayed about it for 3 days, Jack. I prayed about it because I had always counted on working for this big company, General Motors, and I knew that every 15th and last day of the month I was going to be paid. And I had learned a lot and done a lot, but you know, sometimes people fail to recognize that we're being watched. Somebody's always watching how we handle things, what our temperament is. And unbeknownst to me, I had someone who was paying attention to me, people that I negotiated with, people that I met my GM objectives with every year for cost savings. And when I got tapped on the shoulder and prayed about it for 3 days, my spirit said, why not you? Why not you? You know, I've always, from a little girl, dreamed of being somebody special. I always thought that I was. And plus, I had this biblical name, Abraham. You know, come on now, Abraham, you can have what you want and do what you want. In fact, my screensaver was Because I Can. Because who's really going to tell me that I can't? You know, because I can.
When you told your mom what you were doing, what did your mom say?
My God.
She can say you can.
Oh, my gosh. My mother thought I had completely lost my mind. One of her first things was that, you're not going to leave that good job, are you? You can't leave that good job. And I said, Mom, this is such a phenomenal opportunity. I said to her that I'm going to be a millionaire. Now, you know, when words peel off of your tongue, you have to believe them in your heart. And I believed that I was going to be a millionaire, that I truly was going to be successful, and that I wasn't going to fail at it. And it took her some time to come around, as evidenced by what was going on with me, you know, the accolades that I was getting, you know, my ability to upgrade myself and buying a better home and driving a different car and doing the things that I've always wanted to do and just catering to my parents in any way that I can. You know, like, what do you need? How can I help? Because I was, in their eyes, a really big deal.
God gives us angels throughout our life. And one such angel was a man named Chuck O'Brien for you, the late, great Chuck O'Brien. Tell us about that angel.
That was a blessing that I didn't know was coming at me. Here's a man that very well respected in the industry, and I negotiated with, and he complimented me on always walking the talk, doing what you say you're going to do, and that I've been watching you. And when we sit in these lobbies at General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, resoundingly, I hear people say positive things about you. So he had been studying or observing me for some time. And when the opportunity came for me to partner with him in business, I really just was so astounded by it all. I said, please give me some time to absorb this, you know, because in my mind, I had a good job. But if we limit ourselves from what life could be, we would never go any further. And every door that I opened, everything that I thought that I wanted to do, gave me the confidence that things were going to be okay, because it kept the door kept opening, the yeses kept coming. The accolade and the support of my peers and other suppliers who I had been doing business with for years came out in droves just to tell me what they thought of me and what they thought was possible, and that we're here They called it my honeymoon, Jack. You know, my first year out, I'm their competitors. I have been in all of their facilities. I understood their business model, but they gave me a one-year honeymoon, if you will, to embrace me and to help me so that I could do my best job at this effort. And it was a phenomenal journey for somebody to seek you out. You know, Chuck said to me, he said, I've made millionaires in my life. And he says, and I could probably never have to work again. He says, I don't know if my wife would divorce me because she couldn't stand me being at home, but I'm in the business of making millionaires and you're my next millionaire. It was like I saw his mouth moving and I could hear it, but it just, I was in slow motion receiving it all, thinking to myself, this is my opportunity, and what a big one it was for me.
He helped you buy Detroit Heading.
Yes.
Which was a $45 million company that from 2000 to 2008 you ran. And then you sold in a. Tell us about Detroit Heading.
Detroit Heading, you know, at the time that I had the opportunity to buy the company, there weren't any minority female, African American females doing that at all. And so I got tremendous accolade from the community of people, you know, born in Detroit, owning a business in Detroit. It was like the American dream. And it wasn't always easy. I am a black female catering to a business of almost 100 employees who were mostly non-minority who really wanted to watch and see what I did. Does she say and do what she really does? You know, is she coming with this pie in the sky GM stuff? Is she going to really be good at what she does? And it really gave me a chance to prove my best efforts and to show that I had a clue about things. I had to work really hard at it. I knew all the employees' names. I knew when their birthdays were. I knew how many kids they have. I gave them birthday cards. You know, I had a Christmas party. I danced with every one of my employees. I just did everything I could to reach out and to show myself approved. Because even though, yes, I'm the majority owner, you still like to create a family environment for your business to make people proud of working at a company that you own, to always give you their very best. And it wasn't always easy, but I was able to overcome until the business was sold, or my majority shares were sold at the end of 2008.
We're talking to Jeanette Abraham. While she was doing this, she also became the owner, CEO, and president of JMA Logistics, LLC. When we come back, we'll ask her about that company. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Jeanette Abraham. Jeanette, tell us about JMA Logistics, LLC.
Be happy to. JMA doesn't have a lot of creativity. It stands for Jeanette Marie Abraham. I had to make a really quick decision about what the name of my company would be, and Chuck O'Brien was still with us, and it was because of his vision that I was able to even do this. I had been the owner of Detroit Heading already, and when he asked me to take a look at my balance sheet, to look at where I paid money to, I said, wow, I pay $1.5 million annually just for a service to warehouse and distribute the product. He said, could you do that? And I hesitated and I looked at him and I said, well, I think I could. And he says, sure you can. You know, I want you to envision yourself to think big, because you can have more than one company and run more than one company at the same time. And so with that, I was able to leapfrog into a new entity and became my own customer. The good news is that I was my customer because the business was already there, because someone else was servicing it for me. And I just took that revenue and internalized it. So I was able to start my business with $1.5 million in annual revenue and did all the warehousing and distribution for myself, sorted any potential defective parts, you know, sent them out to coders and platers, hired a good staff of people, most of which are still with me today. And, you know, we've been rocking and rolling ever since. Has it always been a great ride? Absolutely not. You know, I got kicked in my shins a little bit at the 08 and 09 juncture, where many people didn't even survive it. So I'm really giving God all the glory for the opportunity to still be in business and to still employ people and still use that as another method to give back.
Jeanette Abraham, what advantages does a woman have in leading / running a business?
Many. We're multitaskers. We do a lot of things well. And they're the customers, the OEMs that we do business with. You get extra accolade when you're a female, when you're a minority, and when you certify yourself through organizations that really support your opportunity to be your best you. I think we're really, really good at it because we understand customer expectations, what we need, what we have to do, accountability of it all. And you know, quite frankly, my customers, knowing my history and that I used to work for General Motors, they're very, very comforted by my ability to know what's expected of them and not think that they owe me something. I happen to be a black female, but I also happen to be very, very, very good at what I do. And because of that, it creates a really good balance of allowing me to be my best at all times. A lot of my business, sometimes I do offshore because that's the customer footprint. They want us to be global. And so whatever outreach I can do to meet the footprint and expectation of my customer and do it well is what I've been willing to do.
Jeanette, since 2005, you've also been the chairperson of the NABS. Tell us about that organization.
NABS is the National Association of Black Suppliers, and the SF on the end is the Scholarship Fund. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, and we're so very excited about it, my board and I. We have given over $1.2 million in scholarships to date, and our goal is to give another 25 scholarships to 25 deserving students on our 25th year, this year again. The students have been so very rewarding. They've given back. They've come back and sat on our board. They've opened our eyes and helped us to understand what students go through when they first approach college. Many of these students are the first in their families to even be educated, and we mentor them throughout the year and hold them accountable to keep their grades where they need to be so that we can produce more productive people into our society. Because think about it, they're our future. They're going to hopefully take care of us one day.
And your annual dinner, 25th annual dinner, is on May 15th at the Henry Hotel in Dearborn. If you want to learn more, www.nabssf.org.
That's correct.
What have these young people taught you, Jeanette?
Phenomenally. They have taught me everything that I thought that I knew. When you listen to their challenges sometimes, you find yourself in a constant mentoring state. You almost treat them like they're your children sometimes because they need that extra reaching out, knowing that they can go to someone and speak at all times. I have a student who contacted me just by text the other day. She graduated from Howard University. You know, she worked in the sales area at Pfizer. She now just completed her graduate degree. She's in real estate. She's just doing so extremely well. I just makes my heart want to just bust open. You know, these are our next generation of people who recognize the benefit of the scholarship. Many of them got a scholarship award of $25,000, which in effect mean they got a full ride. You know, everybody isn't as fortunate to get that, but, you know, not only do we cater to the automotive industry, but we have a lot of students who are going into healthcare, a lot who are going in engineering, and we try to give them a positive start and open up the door and help them in many ways that that they've never known possible before. I can't take the full credit of being the brain power of it all because I serve as a chair of a phenomenal board, and I learn my best practices from them and the students over the years. They write a great essay to us every year about what makes them deserving for the scholarship. Many of them will bring tears to your eyes. Many are so very, very deserving, and we just wish that we could support all of their dreams.
The 25th annual dinner at the Henry Hotel in Dearborn, May 15th, www.nabssf.org. Jeanette Abraham, your personal mission, and I quote, to always give back to the community and to assist others with their goals and aspirations for success, unquote.
Do you know, I heard a minister one time say that believe that you were born on purpose, with a purpose, for his purpose. I recognize that every blessing that I've ever been able to embrace really is about what I'm going to do with it, not what it does for me. I have an obligation and a responsibility to give back. You know, I came here into this world with nothing, and that's exactly how I'm going to leave. But I sure want to leave so proudly, knowing that I've donated my time and that my efforts were recognized and that I was a listening ear to people who really needed it when they didn't have anybody else to go to. My ultimate goal is to be my best at all time. And I always believe that I'm going to be successful at everything that I do. I mean, that's half the battle. If you don't think you're going to be successful at it, then why even muster up the energy to do it in the first place?
Another quote from you, I don't meet strangers, and I always look for the good in other people, end quote. That's a sure way to go out of business.
For sure it is. But don't let the niceness fool you. I have a gorgeous smile, but I will let you know if you are stepping on my toes too hard, because I do know what I'm doing, and I know what people expect of me as an end result of the product that services my customers that goes into the vehicles. And so, yes, I am a very nice person, and some people might say that you're too nice, but I don't allow people to change the makeup of who I am in order to get along with people. And when I meet people, strangers, honestly, all of the time will approach me and they say, there's something about you that I really like. And I smile because I do. I wear it on my sleeve. And so if they feel it and see it, then it's the truism of who I am. And so you do have to be careful in business because we swim with sharks sometimes. And when you swim with sharks, you have to be careful to swim in the same direction oftentimes so that you don't get torn to shred. So I am cautious about that, but think about it. I've been in business since I was 16, literally, by the time I stepped into the big girl world of General Motors up until now. And I've learned an awful lot. There are some things that I would never do again. There were some best practices that I instill in other people about how to best handle situations. But I love entrepreneurship. I think that giving back, helping my students at the NAB Scholarship Fund is just the best of me that I can give. I'm part of a great volunteer organization as well, where we constantly are doing community-oriented things to just make a difference in people's lives. That's why we're blessed, Jack.
We're talking to Jeanette Abraham, who's gone from riding 9 buses a day at age 16 to now swimming with the sharks. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Jeanette Abraham, who since 2005 has been the chairperson of the National Association of Black Suppliers Scholarship Fund. Jeanette, another quote from you, got a lot of quotes. Failure is not an option.
It really isn't when you think about it. You know, you really, really, truly have to believe, and you have to be hungry for it. You have to be hungry and desire to know that you can always be your best you. One thing that I really felt when I was younger is that I don't ever want to be old, sitting on a porch, rocking in a chair, wondering what life could have been like if I'd just given myself a chance. And so I just don't think failure is an option. And most people don't do anything because they fear failure. But it's sometimes the repetitiveness of it and the lessons that you learn along the way that really give you the confidence to keep trying. Because I believe that if I push myself hard enough, I'll get whatever I want.
People that know you say she literally wills things to happen. How does a person will something to happen?
I speak it. You know, this tongue is a powerful sword. You could speak positive things or you can speak negative things. You can say my cup is half empty or it's half full. I choose to believe in the fullness of my opportunities at all time. I just believe that I was born to be successful and that I was born to share my best practices with someone else and to leave a legacy. You know, I'm a grandparent now and she's only 20 months old and I am constantly teaching and showing her what she's capable of doing every single time that we spend time together. And I do that with my students. I have high expectations of people. I have huge expectations of people because I'm always giving my best. I'm not a slacker, so I don't expect people should slack either.
Anybody that spends time with you says this is a woman of faith and you really trust God. It's so hard for us to trust God. Mm-hmm. How do you do it?
I look at every experience as an opportunity. You know, if I don't get what I want right away, Jack, I know that it's coming. And I stay on the path of belief so that it does happen. I just truly believe in all my heart and soul that you've seen nothing yet of me, that the best is still yet to come. You know, people marvel at, oh my God, you've done this. You know, you've been on magazines, you've been on TV, you go out and you talk. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I stay steadfast to what draws on the inside of me to push me, to dare to knock on a door they may not always open, to dare to ask questions and not be fooled or failed in my mind, in my spirit by a no. I force people to get to the no. Tell me why. Tell me why it can't happen. You know, I appeal to their consciousness about doing the right thing. And so not only am I entitled, you're entitled and anyone in your listening audience is entitled to put your best foot forward and be the best you all the time. And expect, you know, people have, I used to have a card in my wallet that says expect a miracle. And I really do. I expect a miracle. And as evidenced in the world that we live in with all the tragedies that are going on, with all the crazy weather patterns that we're having all over the world, you know, I think that it's all happening, you know, for a reason. Sometimes it's just kind of an awakening that you think you're in control of something, you're not in control of anything. So who else are you going to trust? I trust God. That has always worked for me, and I don't see any reason not to.
You've been working since 1968. You started very young. You've got JMA Logistics. You're the chairperson of this fund, etc. Jeanette, why not retire?
Oh, are you kidding? There's so much of me more to give. So many more lessons to teach. So many things to do. And if not me, then who? I continue to be a part of organizations and give back and participate wherever I can. I'm just not done yet, Jack. There's so much left to give. I'm not done.
You have great self-esteem, anybody that listens to you. If there's a listener tonight that says, wow, I wish I had that, but Jeanette, I'm a victim. What do you say to that person?
It's a state of mind, regardless of the reality of where you feel you've been victimized. You know, you have to dig deep on the inside of you and be hungry for a change. The best of what people expect to have occurred to them in life hasn't happened to many people. And many people said, well, I believe, you know, why hasn't it happened to me? And I say that most of the time when people are ready to give up, your blessing is just right around the corner. You know, before you put the clothes signed up, you know, the blessing was right there. I was just getting ready to be blessed, and then I gave up. I just can't afford to give up. And I tell your listeners, don't give up. Always have a dream. Do things to promote that dream. I don't care if you think you're a singer and you get in front of the mirror and you sing all the time. I don't think if you even feel that if you think you can be the best orator that you just wouldn't stand in front of a mirror and just speak your best speech and say your best beliefs all the time. You have to practice what you feel is going to happen to you inevitably, because if you do nothing, you're going to get nothing. And if you say negative things that roll off your tongue, oh, that'll never happen for me. Oh, I've never seen that. Or that could happen to you, but not to me. Then guess what? It probably won't.
Education was drilled into you and your three sisters back in the 60s. The need for an education today is paramount. Yet we have so many people don't want to get an education, aren't getting an education. What do you say to the parents tonight that have children?
They didn't ask to be born, these children, you know. You have a responsibility to inspire. You have to inspire your children from wee little ones. You need to tell them, you know, that you're smart and you're beautiful and you're going to be this, that, or the other. If you see them dance, try them in things. See what they're possibly capable of and encourage that. Every student that we talk to is not college bound, but that doesn't mean they can't go to a trade and learn how to be a skilled tradesperson. That maybe, you know, you can't get another trade to learn, teach you how to go into an institution and say, well, I'm skilled at this now. I can go in a hospital and draw blood. You know, whatever it might be, do it to the best of your ability and work at it. If you don't try, you can't achieve. If you expect that somebody owes you, it's a false thought process, because faith without works are dead. You've got to do something to get something.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Stay encouraged. Be careful of your surroundings, because people judge you by your surroundings. Some of our students have taught us things about all of the social media and Facebook and things that you say and do that you don't think that anybody is paying attention to. I'm just saying to you, people are watching. They're looking for the best of the best to promote into this world, to hire into their companies, and to lead and set examples for other youth. I'm saying always put your best foot forward, always be your best you, and try to have a benevolent spirit. Give what you can give, and it'll boomerang and come right back at you.
Jeanette Abraham, because you seized your dream in 2000 to leave the cocoon of GM after 32 years, our community's better for it. You got a great future. You got a lot to give. Thanks a million. Please keep up the great work.
Thank you so very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.